beautiful. Listen to it.
Listen to the sounds of the night.
Let it take you to a place where, I don't know, you get murdered and thrown in a ditch. And
yes, and then Black Phillip comes and laughs at you. He's cute, though.
And then they pee on you again, and someone finds you several weeks later because you smell like a bad burrito.
And then you end up being on one of those shows.
And then you go to bed.
And then you'll go to bed.
All right, let me shut the stupid music off. Okay. Hi, guys. This is Pinky.
And this is Rusty.
And this is a Pink Latex Show. I think it's episode 5.
It's 5.
It's 5. It's 18 plus. So if you're not 18, leave, please, because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want any, you know, strongly worded letters from Karen telling me that son has been ruined by the ideas and thoughts of Rusty and her 1.5-ness.
Ew, I just watched that drip right over your nipple.
Also, we have new gear this week, so it's picking up my breathing and I sound like Darth Vader. I can hear my own spit. That's fucking horrible. I can hear my own spit, so it feels ASMR. Here, you want to listen to my cat eat? I'm so sorry for your ears.
Okay. Well, that sounds like other things, too.
Gross. What is gross? What is wrong with you?
Lots of things.
You're so disgusting. I'm not used to this. It's weird because I'm looking directly at Rusty this week. I don't have a computer screen right in front of me.
Isn't she lovely? See? Isn't she wonderful?
I didn't eat two filet mignon. Oh my God, that stinks though. That smells like subs. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she
wonderful?
Wonderful. Last week, Reconstituted T-Shirt Baby, episode 4. So if you haven't listened to Reconstituted T-Shirt Baby, I urge you to do so. It's a great story. It's a nice little episode. You know, what was it? It was like 45 minutes long. We had cut out quite a bit of it, though. Oh, my God. I need a sip of my drink. Let's listen. You can listen.
She's parched. Asthma.
I am so parched. Yeah, so that was that episode did really well, as did Slap Me and Call Me a Bitch. But the episode that hasn't been getting the love that it so rightfully deserved was David Bowie's Son Downtown, or I Met David Bowie's Son Downtown.
I thought that was a really interesting day.
As far as like random people finding us on the internet, they're not like rolling up to David Bowie in the search, being like, oh, David Bowie's son. If you haven't listened to David Bowie's Son, go check that out. It's a great episode. It's really sick and twisted. And I think you'll like it. That is on thepinklatexshow.com if you want, or anchor.fm/pinklatex, or Spotify, Pink Latex, Pink Latex Show, on all of the digital platforms. You're welcome for the information.
You can find anything on the interwebs these days.
Yeah, which is not necessarily a good thing.
It's unfortunate, actually. You found us.
That was wicked fucking mean.
I was being mean about us.
Yeah, that's fucking mean. I take offense to that. No. Oh, that was disgusting. That wasn't even like a good burp. You don't get even a point for that. I wish you could see your own hair right now.
Does it look fabulous?
You have these like little, two little bitties. Like,
do I have antennas?
You have two little antennas.
Are they horns?
No, they're not. They look more like butterfly wings. What are you doing?
Itching my finger.
I hate that I don't have a camera because you just look like you were doing la, la, la. You know the little Von Trapp hands thing when people
sing?
Yeah,
I was about to start doing a performance piece there.
And a little clutch thing. And we were talking about, which was actually a couple episodes ago now, we said we were starting Blood Creek. And we did start and finish Blood Creek, finally. And every week we're going to have kind of like a movie that we recommend and that we're watching together for the week.
Oh my God,
I'm so sorry. We are disgusting tonight. And we're going to talk about that later in the show. We're going to give you our recommendation and what we're going to start watching tonight. And then we'll talk about, I'm not going to go into the whole thing. We're going to go watch The Golem tonight. And that is on Netflix. So if you have a Netflix account, you can grab that. And if not, then get it on Amazon if you want and can watch along. If you have anything you'd like to ask, or if you have any things you want to chat about with us, Pink Latex on Twitter, and then hashtag it. Do Pinky Watches or something like that. Or you can just... So
do you
want to
have
the Golem
contact
is
with
it the
us?
Golem or the Golem? I think it's the Golem.
A Golem, I think.
But there's an E first. Wouldn't that make the O say its name? So wouldn't it be Golem?
I don't know.
I'm getting crazy first.
What do you call
level.
Lord of the Rings Golem?
What do you call Lord of the Rings Golem? You call him Golem.
You don't call him Golem. You call him Gollum.
It's spelled Gollum, though, right? Isn't it G-O-L-L-E-M?
I think, but it's just spelled different.
Does it matter? It's not even a real thing. It doesn't even fucking exist. So whatever.
There's going to be a lot of that tonight.
There is, yeah. And I keep having to pull my face away because it's picking up everything. And like, I have these little burps happening. It's like a damn roller coaster.
Countdown to Halloween, which most people start at the beginning of October, but we have problems.
I wouldn't say that's a problem. I feel like that's more of an asset. Like, if I wanted to make a dating profile, I'd put on it, yo, I start Halloween June 1st.
I start that shit early.
Listen. Countdown to Halloween. That's our scary countdown of succulent scary stories or whatever.
Our asylum of the week would like to discuss just a little bit.
You need that to mark your shit.
We're just going to touch on that shit a little bit. Is Danvers State Hospital, which...
But that, okay, you just fucking skipped this whole section. That was why I was saying so, because we're going to take our time with our special countdown to Halloween, because we're starting that shit early, right?
I got to discuss favorite haunted places.
Haunted places. We're going to start a new thing, which is Asylum of the Week, before fucking Rusty skips ahead on her goddamn notes, because she's not using a marker, which is why I'm all fucked up and keep saying so.
Balls, balls!
I just fucking did it again. I can't even look at you, because every time I look at you, I lose my train of thought. I can't help it.
She is in love with me.
I do love the dart along your milk white neck. Ugh, that's disgusting. So drippy. Ugh. Ew, I want to leave
red
my
water.
Double mark.
Red
Ew.
Water, red water!
Red water.
Wake up, Christmas morn. Oh, R.I.P.
I've been hearing a lot of people play Typo on their streams. Classy Katie has been playing him nonstop, and every time I hear it, I'm like, first, my first thought is, I love him so much, and then my second thought's like, I almost got herpes from him, or crabs. Which one was crabs? He had crabs. That
when
was the
licked
story.
Your hand and said, it is my pleasure and honor to meet your acquaintance. And you're like,
Yeah, and up until then, I had a giant poster of Peter Steele on my wall with his massive wee-wee, and I kept a post-it, not a post-it note, because it was massive, but it was a paper with sticky so you could lift it up and see.
If you wanted to.
So I meet him. Yeah, I had the opportunity to be more than just a friend, let's just say. And all I had heard was stories that he was giving a lot of girls crabs. And so I didn't go through with it. My dream up until then, it was like 4 years worth of dream crushed because I was like, I don't fucking want crabs. And then I left and I'm like, they're probably just lying. They don't know. They haven't seen his pee-wisses. They don't know if it has crabs. Yeah, I missed out on that opportunity. He's in love with himself now and forever. R.I.P. Peter Steele, I'm sorry about the crabs thing. I'm glad I don't have crabs though.
Yeah, crabs go away. Yeah, so
I
still don't want them.
I don't want them. Did I ever tell you about a certain friend of mine? I wouldn't go so far as to say it's a mutual friend, but you have met him. He told me he contracted crabs from picking up. He met a dude on, I don't even know what the website would have been at the time, because this was probably like 1998. And yes, he was on dating websites then. He had said he got crabs and then he went home. And
he took
a shot.
He was on like Merck.
Oh, all of the internet people back then were on Merck. Shout out to Merck. But
Merck, we
so
love
he
you.
takes a shower and he used what is the stuff? Is it Dutch Boy cleaner that you put in the tub? That powdered cleaner?
Comet?
Yes.
Or Dutch Boy, yeah.
You're screaming. He scrubbed his body with that and then shaved all his body hair to get rid of his crabs. Now, I'm not saying that's what you should do, but he swears by it because he was out active that night at the club, drinking the bub. He didn't drink. That was his crab remedy. Typo negative.
I would think crabs would be the least of your worries, really. There's other things.
And I got the crabs and the gonorrhea, but the crabs,
get rid of
you know,
crabs and gonorrhea.
I was using the Drano to clean it, you know.
Get the herpes. That's the gift that continues to give forever.
Oh, my God. Speaking of herpes, so there's one. I'm watching Hell's Kitchen. That's just something that me and the Boa Small do constantly. Like, that's our thing. We watch Hell's Kitchen together. So we're watching it, and I can see that she's looking at one of the male chefs who's like, on there, and she's like making the eyes at him. She's like, ooh, I can tell she thinks he's handsome. And I'm like, oh my God, I wouldn't want that guy to serve me food. Look at the size of that hop on his face. And she's like, what? I go, he has a cold sore in his mouth. Do you want someone with a cold sore wiping their brow and wiping the edge of your plate, chopping up your vegetables and meat? No.
Do you want to eat herpes simplex too?
I didn't want to explain herpes to her. I did just say, that cold sore, man. Everybody would say, that's my fever blister. Listen, fuck you. That shit is an STD. And whilst you might have gotten it because you took a sip out of someone's cup or you shared a chapstick, it doesn't matter. It's nasty. Keep your fever blister at home, alone, under surveillance, and not with other people. Please, don't cook my food with it.
Nobody wants the happy simplex, too.
I will go to the Home Depot and buy you a hazmat paper disposable suit and mail it to you. Don't come out. Thanks. Get you some fucking Abreva. Damn.
Wow.
Stop telling me it's the sun that makes it happen, because it's not. I'm so sick of
it's
that.
It's the happies.
It's the fucking herpes that makes it happen, okay?
Herpes?
Herpes and crab. And Peter Steele, who I can't even remember what I was saying.
We're really sorry, Peter Steele. R.I.P.
Shout out to the Peter Steele's crabs. But he can't give them to you anymore.
The best piece That's of advice nice. I've ever been
I
given.
Him.
Diet black.
Yeah, you want to go out because it's raining and blowing. You can't go out because your roots are showing. Sing it with me. Diet.
You like my little polka horn sound effect?
Beautiful. Yeah. I'm excited.
I was going to be doing some streaming with the Scary Games. I just haven't gotten the chance. And now we have all new audio and I gotta hook that up with the computer. But yeah, I was really excited for the brand new Blair Witch game that I believe it's August 30th that's out. I was really excited for that. In some of our upcoming shows, we're gonna play some Scary Games while we're podcasting so that you can get the Rusty reaction. Although she doesn't scream. She's not a scared little wimp like myself. I'm wimpy as fuck. I'm 100%.
Somebody threw something at me the other day and was like, you didn't even flinch.
No, because you don't click the... What are you doing? Are you clicking?
I clicked with my
finger. You know how loud that fucking was in my ear? It really wasn't, but I can hear it and they can probably hear it, so.
Penis.
You're a fucking penis. Nothing scares her. She's really desensitized to pretty much like...
Everything.
Pretty much everything. So yeah, we're going to do some games and we're going to start picking an unsolved crime and an asylum of the week. That's going to be something we're doing weekly all the way up until Halloween, possibly Thanksgiving, because fuck that holiday. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like turkey and days off, but not
my
trying
birthday.
To. If you fucking do that with your foot one more time, I'm going to take a hammer to
your fucking face.
Actually,
I don't like my birthday. My birthday's awful every year.
Birthdays aren't worth celebrating after the age of 25. Just celebrate that you're alive. Let's not celebrate aging, right? Just, you know.
Yeah, I'm good this year.
Yeah. I woke up and I'm alive.
Let me get on my compression socks and take my antidepressants. Yeah, okay.
Asylum of the week. Where's my fucking scary... Yeah, there we go.
Oh, that was sexy.
That is your fucking cue, ass face. All Asylum right. of the week,
so
what
42,
is it?
It's Danvers State Hospital in Massachusetts. Okay. Interesting thing about Danvers State Hospital, which has been torn down and turned into an apartment complex.
Yeah, which is fucking, when did that happen?
It was a long time ago. I don't know exactly what year.
Not that long, though. I mean, like...
It's within the last 10 years. There's a creepy barn, sort of like some of the living quarters for the staff. There's a couple of buildings that still exist on the ground.
Question, because you would know this. Denver State Hospital, where it's located, isn't that technically the same area that the actual Salem witch trials, like haunted Salem?
Yes.
That's where that really is. Salem is not actually... Danvers was originally part of Salem.
Yeah.
And
there was a monument in front of the city hall that said, essentially, I'm not going to read it word for word because I'm not there. It said, essentially, they were embarrassed about what happened. So they changed their name from Old Salem Village to Danvers and distanced themselves. Judge Hathorne lived.
Hawthorne?
No, it's Hathorne.
It's not Hathorne.
It's Hathorne.
Your face is Hathorne.
There's a place called Hathorne in Danvers.
Yeah, it's called your face.
Judge Hathorne, Hathorne, it's H-A-T-H-O-R-N-E, is at the bottom of the hill where Denver State is. It's a landmark.
Yeah.
The dude that hung people on Gallows Hill, his house is next door to Denver State Hospital.
Thanks. What makes this kind of interesting is starting off our Asylum of the Week is this hospital was built on land that was essentially bad fucking luck. Sorry, I have it right here. Built in 1874. And opened in 1878 under the supervision of prominent Boston architect Nathaniel Jeremiah Bradley.
Ooh, that's
who later his family opened
English name.
The Bradley's Superstore, the original fucking Walmart. Shout out to Bradley's. Oh. On an isolated site in rural Massachusetts. It was a multi-acre, self-contained psychiatric hospital designed and built according to the Kirkbride plan. The fuck is the Kirkbride plan?
I don't know.
Kirkbride
was the guy who was the architect that does. Well, he was actually a doctor at a psychiatric hospital in, I think, Pennsylvania.
Well,
and he married one of the patients. So he wanted to make building plans that were basically for psych patients to go in.
Was a system of mental asylum design advocated by the Philadelphia psychiatrist Thomas Story Kirkbride, mid-19th century.
His plan was, it had good intentions. It was like, we're going to make this place as pleasant as possible so that you can coalesce from your mental health condition and you'll have things to do.
He had a lot to do with the New England kind of workhouse kind of thing. Wasn't he like a big proponent of going outside and having them garden and feeling?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
It wasn't, from his point of view, it wasn't cruelty or to exploit anybody. It was because he wanted them to have something to stimulate their mind while they were getting better, but to be isolated from the public so that they didn't have to deal with anything.
Yeah, and his particular design, not that this is of interest for anyone, but I mean, I just think it's kind of interesting when you're talking in terms of what you would have called the mental asylum or the mental fucking hospital.
The loony bin.
He wanted it to be built so that every room and every corridor had windows, so sunlight would come in, because there were so many people that would get like seasonal depression because they were locked in fucking, you know, windowless rooms in the dark with no air.
His wife was a psych patient.
He was like, I don't want to put you in a barn and shave your head for lobotomies all day.
Although, I'm going to put you in a lovely, lovely front room, a sitting room where you could sit on the pillows.
You want a whack uncomfortable rocking chair? Beach, I got you.
I got you, bitch.
I got you. Yeah.
Word.
Oh.
Interestingly enough, did you know this, Pinky? Arkham Asylum is based on Denver State Hospital.
Sorry about my
lack of. H.P. Lovecraft, as we all know, was from Rhode Island. He was from New England.
Do we all know that?
He would have been familiar with.
I didn't know where he was from. I didn't even know he was a real person. I just thought he was a product at the Hot Topic. What?
It's real.
No, I know.
He's totally real.
I'm just saying, there are people that might not know that. Maybe they think he is just a Hot Topic thing.
Denver State Hospital was like, at the time, this was like the cutting edge, top of the line facility where they performed the first successful, I say that in quote, frontal lobotomy. Successful because the subject didn't die.
So for those of you, what is a lobotomy? Just quickly, just give me just, what do they do?
They go in behind your eyeball and they pick a little piece of brain out.
Yeah. And they weren't really known for sedating people. Like, they would hold you, put a stick between your teeth. Mm-hmm. You would have like orderlies holding you down and they would open your eye, or I'm demonstrating this like she doesn't know. Like I'm holding my eyeballs open. Oh, can you hear it?
Clockwork orange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then they would put a sharp object into your eye or into your fucking middle of your head, depending on where, but mostly it was through the eye, wasn't it?
It was through the eye.
I mean, they did different types of practices also with like drilling and stuff, but we'll just do the frontal lobotomy is them going through your eye. And supposedly the piece of brain that they remove, it's supposed to trigger a calming response. Now, I don't know how to put it. I guess like that the part of your brain that would cause you to react in an angry manner.
Emotional?
Yeah.
Emotion?
Well, yeah. I mean, they didn't think it was going to strip you of all of your emotion. They thought it was going to take away that hard kind of bipolar, like up and down, super reactive
it
feeling.
It can. It depends on the person.
For most people, it made them like,
I don't know.
If they could even talk at all.
Have had that done left over from like the 50s. They went through a little phase there.
Oh, yeah. Even into the 60s as well, I think.
Even if you go on YouTube and watch them talk, they're upset because they have no feeling and they know they don't. Or if they do have
emotional reactions. They're unable to cry. Like somebody, like their mother dies and they can't cry.
Some days I feel like I've had a lobotomy because, like, you know, someone will tell me something that to them is a big deal that has really just had a major impact on their life. And I'm like, you fucking stupid. The fuck is wrong with you? And I just want to smack them. And then there are times where, like, I'll cry if you tell me something. Really just depends.
I think all of it. We need to find a friend who lives in the apartment complex. We'll just knock on the door and be like, hi, can we sleep over?
I'm sure that, I mean, I've seen ghost hunters do this. So, I mean, I know there's people open to making a couple bucks off letting you in there. They knocked the building down, but we're gonna talk about other things that happened there. So you were telling us, first, frontal lobotomy. Mm-hmm. Arkham Asylum, based off that, you some Batman and some shit.
Yeah, that's what it's modeled on.
I mean, you can go play yourself some Injustice or some Batman and take a look right through the hospital, and it's pretty much kind of designed like the way that it was. There's lots going on. So tell us a little bit more about Danvers State. Why is it?
There were tunnels below, and this was part of the Kirkbride plan. Of the architecture.
Yeah, if you watch any of the ghost hunter type shows, we'll call them
buildings.
Kirkbride facilities.
Yes.
They all have basic floors, and then underneath they'll have like their morgue, and then they'll have their tunnels to travel between different buildings so that patients couldn't see them, you know, wheeling somebody out that was going insane, or bodies, or basically even just product. If they're bringing in food and stuff, you wouldn't see it. And there was a lot hidden. Like
people didn't get out of there. You would live there. Like now you go to a psych hospital and they're like, all right, here's some Seroquel, get out.
There was a point in time where a man could say, my wife, she's out of control. She's emotional and she's obsessed with sex, because he caught her like, say, masturbating or something.
Hysteria.
But what I mean, there, I can't even remember what they called it, but there were
hysteria.
So many, they could have you removed, arrested, and in a hospital for basically the rest of your life, or however long they deemed necessary, because they thought you were a wanton hoe.
You were a nymphomaniac.
Thankfully, that stopped. Certain cities, and I know this was happening in Philadelphia, I was reading about it. There were just, you know, your average women that lived at home and had husbands and kids. And all of a sudden, the government one day imposed a law. It was something like if you saw a woman out on the street and she looked like she was a little bit off, a police officer or a man, a male, could stop her and question her. If he looked at her and thought she has an STD, she could be arrested and checked and either put in a hospital or kept in jail. You weren't allowed to call anybody. Nobody could come get you. So if you were, say, picking your kid up from the bus, and he was like, that bitch looks like she has an STD. Arrested, done. And they were fingering you to check you for fucking various things.
Because you had hysteria.
Yeah. This was, it happened because of the war and men coming back with STDs. And they thought that they could stop the spread of STDs. They assumed that you could look at someone and know they had an STD.
Well, let's blame the women who didn't do anything.
Yeah, they weren't traveling overseas, you know, sticking
hookers
on everything and in everything.
Yeah.
There are various reasons you'd get locked up. So if you're a woman,
if your husband's having an affair and he wants you out of the way, it's like, oh, she's really depressed. Bye.
Yeah, you didn't, you wore your gloves at dinner and you didn't have meat jello mold.
Yeah, shut your face, ho.
That's a night, Henry, I have a headache. You're going to the hospital.
It's contrary to what we might believe, too, that you would think, like, oh, people have to have money to... When this Kirkbride thing came up, they were self-contained. They would create product and sell it so they could run themselves. So they were independent of government funds, and it was probably easier to get in there if you had some money.
So you would get, like, an Andre the Giant-looking dude.
That's why they call it the Funny Farm.
That's where the Funny Farm comes from.
Yeah, because those people were funny.
The construction of Danvers State Hospital started in 1874. And again, the construction ended in 1878, but at its peak, it had 40 buildings with 450 patients, but it had more than 9,500 patients since the opening. It also says at one point the hospital swelled to a capacity of over 2,000 patients. They weren't supposed to have more than 450. That was supposed to be their max.
Because that's when state hospitals in the 60s.
Yeah.
Well, this is what the Kirkbride buildings turned into.
Yeah. And they didn't start that way. They actually...
He had a good plan.
He had good intentions, to be fair. I mean,
people get mad at me when I say that, but he did.
He did.
For that time, that was revolutionary thinking.
It absolutely was, yeah. No, I agree.
For that time.
We got to wrap this part up because we have to tell our story for the week. Still talking. And we haven't even really talked about any of the hauntings.
They didn't have the antipsychotics then, so that's scary enough.
No, they had, we're going to tie you to a table and drill your eyeball.
That electroshock therapy.
Oh, and then there was the hydrotherapy.
Hydrotherapy.
The boiling tub up to your neck. And you
lobotomy and maybe some laudanum and some heroin.
Yeah, they had some, there was a lot of really weird therapies that didn't necessarily make it into the Kirkbride model, which was
Why didn't they just give everyone heroin? Everyone would have been like,
well, they stopped with the heroin and the cocaine after a certain amount of time, but that was self-medicating. A lot of people took that stuff at home.
Somebody had gone in there under doing an investigation. They did the EVP thing.
Yeah.
And it was a mother looking for a child because...
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I hate that.
Yuck.
Thanks. That was fucking depressing. That's not scary. That's just depressing. I'm going to have to just put sad fucking like soap opera music up in this shit.
Imagine like being... You're like, where were you born? Arkham.
Is that what they screamed it into a microphone like that?
I would. I would be like, I was born in Arkham.
See? Do I need to turn your headset up so you can hear you more?
No.
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 Oh, now you notice your fucking titties bouncing off the fucking windscreen.
They're huge. They're in the way. They're out of control. God, they should go to Arkham.
Oh my God. You're literally bouncing off it. You don't have to bend over like that. Stop putting your ass on it.
Why not? Don't you like when I bend over like that?
No, why do you have to make everything about porn?
I'm filthy.
You are, though. And I mean that in a hygienic way. You have a smell. I'm just kidding.
I do not.
No, she doesn't have a smell. I mean, she smells like cigarettes, but that...
Smell like cigarettes.
Moisture.
I don't like moisture.
What does moisture smell like?
I smell like water vapor.
Like damp basement.
Water vapor.
We gotta stop. Let's leave the asylum behind. Tonight's story, which is actually one of the original title of the story, is The Pockmarked Abominable Monstrosity That Tried to Fist Me. This is one of the rusty 1.5s. The men in her life.
1.5? Are you kidding?
He's not even a 1.5. Honestly, really not. But we called him Cherokee. Not like a Cherokee. No, a Cherokee. I don't know why. It just happened. So, all right. So let's tell us. Tell us. Are you able to tell us? Because you have notes, and I'm not. You don't need to read your notes verbatim. Well, you just have to tell us and not skip. You don't fuck it up. You're gonna fuck
it
up.
Actually, I don't even know 3 years
why I let you
since I had intercourse. So I was feeling a bit amorous. Feeling a bit amorous, and I went on the party line.
The Boston Donut.
Yeah, this was. I don't know. I get a bit self-destructive. I was like, let me pick up the first horny loser that crosses my path. And this guy seemed really cool. Like, I was talking to him. I was like, all right, whatever. And there wasn't really... It's not like I could go online and look at a profile and be like, okay, this is what this guy looks like. And there was no, like, I'm going to text you my picture. So I had no idea what he looked like. You were to do it a couple of years later, they could be like, hey, my MySpace, this is my URL.
This is my URL.
Yeah. So
my MySpace.
I had no idea what this person looked like. And he described himself. And I was like, oh, he sounds whatever. He gets there. He looked like a bad copy of a young Edward James Olmos. Edward James Olmos is like a 10 in comparison.
But if you think about, if you want to get the right vision of Edward James Olmos, there's a movie. Is it Stand and Deliver? What's the fucking movie where he's the teacher?
Yeah,
Stand and Deliver?
Yeah.
Cherokee looked like Edward James Olmos from Stand and Deliver. If you were to give Edward James Olmos, like, he's balding a little bit on top, right? Give him like a little bit of length, enough to be able to pull the back into a ponytail and a leather biker jacket. And this is a young man, so. And beat his face with a tenderizer a little more.
Horrifying. And I was so lonely at that point. Like, it had been 3 years and I was just like, I just need something. I did it.
You do a lot of things, though. Ooh. Like, I mean, you just do not have discerning taste like that. The fact that you...
Yeah, but that was really...
You hung out with him and, was it?
And I tried. I was like, I'm going to like this person because they're being nice to me. I'm going to give them a shot. They're not real good looking. Going to give them a shot. Why?
What
did I get for this.
What about him drew you in? Like, was there something that he said that you were like,
we just talking about music.
So his music taste was where you felt like and a that connection.
Was about it. Yeah, that was about it.
He comes over and he's like, I fucking love whatever band.
It was just a conversation about music. And I was like, all right, he's like in the same
I love Carnivore.
Essentially, he's like, I'm like, okay, he's in the same ballpark. I'll take it, whatever.
Yeah, he's in the ballpark, all right.
So
you were dating him like a short amount of time.
Well, because he came to my house and wouldn't leave for a couple of weeks.
Well, Jennifer and I at the time, we weren't hanging out as much. We had just started hanging out with you again. Jennifer had conned you into coming up for one of our like Friday or Saturday night drinking thing. We're gonna play cards and whatever. You come and up.
I'm bringing my new boyfriend.
Which is, you'd done this like twice.
No, this was the first time I did this actually.
Yeah, you did this again, which
ended very badly also.
It wasn't as bad. You actually really liked that guy. So at least
I'm still friends with him.
Yuck. Anyway, so you show up. Jennifer and I are in the window of the apartment building. And we're like watching the parking lot, waiting for her to show up. There were cell phones at the time. This was, you know, we were modern enough. We had cell phones, but it's not like she was going to call. She's driving up and I find out she's coming up with her boyfriend. Jen doesn't tell me much about it.
Well, you guys didn't know anything because
I'm just saying
I had been dating him for a week. I couldn't get rid of him. He wouldn't leave. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going up to my
I love that
house.
You missed the most hilarious line, which I thought when we were talking about this, which you had said, I found it to be faster and much more destructive to pick up a small-minded, horny loser rather than put effort into searching for a large-minded, possibly horny loser. This seemed to be the Minute Rice version of a boyfriend.
I just wanted a little bit of the D. That's all.
I fucking would rather not ever.
D.
I'm just going to say, I'd rather never have the D. There ain't no level of D that I fucking need. I literally would rather somebody sew my vagina shut and my eyes shut. There's just a no.
My libido has tamed itself a little bit since then.
Dude,
but
I'm telling you, you need to be in the fucking Danvers. You need Danvers State.
I probably do have hysteria.
You fucking have it. You have it. She rolls up in this gunmetal gray Beretta. She loved that fucking car, by the way. She had that for a while. She gets out and I'm like, oh, look at her. And we're just like looking at her all fond and cute. And we're like, oh, fuck, I can't wait. I don't have a sound effect that goes, the angels.
And then you go.
This beautiful mustard blob rolls out because he had like yellow pants on. I remember him. Yeah. And we have it written down too. He had yellow, jogging pants with his leather jacket. Now you have to think we're like floors up in an apartment building looking down into a parking lot. And I can see from there his fucking face. Rupert Bowie Jagger's face was better. And he was supposedly set on fucking fire, all right? This kid.
So he probably should have been set on fire.
100% agree. He comes upstairs. We set up cards. First of all, I would never be like, oh man, you are fucking ugly. I looked at him and I was like, that is not what I would have expected her to date. Everyone else that's there with us felt the same way, right? And Jen's boyfriend at the time, we won't say his name, but he didn't even notice that he was a human person. He just was like, what's up?
A week before, I had the same experience at a friend's house back home, like where I live closer to. And they were like, oh my God, after I broke up with him, thank God we don't have to hold our breath anymore. We thought he looked like meatloaf and we just couldn't believe it.
I don't know
what
version of meatloaf they ever saw because I never saw meatloaf's face look like that.
Well, they couldn't. I think
because he had a leather jacket and long hair. He was a long hair.
No, I think they meant because he got it beat in the face with a meat tenderizer.
That's not what they meant. They thought he had long hair.
That is absolutely what you
meant. So he looks like hamburger is what you're trying to say.
I think that's what she was trying to say.
We're sitting there playing some games. I remember that he had a camera, like an expensive camera and a video camera with him. And he pulls it out and sets it up and starts recording and then says something to it was like he was making a movie and he liked to record all of his friends and he had a really hot girlfriend that was a playmate. I mean, this is minutes into meeting him.
And he absolutely didn't because nobody,
there's no
I didn't
fucking
even
way.
Want to date
there's
him. I'm
no,
certainly not a playmate.
He would have had to fucking pay somebody to be with him. And I know his family was rather wealthy, but still. Starts videotaping, then puts it down and says, I'll be right back. Grabs his bag, goes into the bathroom, comes out, and he's wearing jammies.
Other jogging pants.
They had like characters on them. And he had his shirt. I remember him coming out with his shirt tucked in. and the elastic on the bottom of the jammy jogging pants was up tall, and he had, you could see his socks and his ankles.
It was awful, and I knew I was done, like, from the moment I saw you guys' reaction. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't. Because I had to already go through this at my other friend's house, and I saw her reaction, and they were trying to be so sweet to him. He wasn't as mean to them. He was nice to them.
He wasn't mean. That's the thing. I think you forget that he was hitting on Jen and I. He must have told me I was gorgeous about 40 times and that I could be a playmate, and that's why he was recording me.
Gross.
And it was disgusting. Yeah, he had matching neon green socks, which we have written down there. He's recording us. And
he kept, like, accusing me of, like, doing stuff with you guys.
Yeah, he kept saying, what do you get, like, do you les out with them and stuff? He did.
Yeah,
he made that. And constantly. And he didn't understand how females could be close like that. Now, mind you, the three of us had, myself, Rusty and Jennifer had been friends for a million years, like forever. And everybody's always thinking, why are you guys so close? You must be lesbians. And we, whatever, think what you want. So yeah, he was filming. He had like porno fantasy. Why is he filming us? And he didn't ask if he could film. He didn't ask permission. He just was sitting there 15 minutes into meeting him in his jammies recording us. Now, I don't know a lot of grown adult men in their early 20s that meet people for this first time and come out of a bathroom in pajamas. First of all, recording adult men them. In pajamas is weird, right? Like, it's not Christmas. Why are you wearing pajamas? Like,
he was coming to my friend's house, not his friend's house. Like, you don't know these people.
Let me get my jammies on. We weren't wearing jammies. I have pictures from that night. I'm wearing a sweater. I didn't wear jammies. I mean, you know, it's just weird, right? So he's filming in his fucking jammies. Jen and I are calling him Chodioki, and we keep going in the bathroom together.
Because
all
of us. That's what girls do. They're pee-pee talks, and that's what we do.
But we weren't really having pee-pee talks. Jennifer was just like, really just, I hate this guy. She was getting progressively.
She's like, he's hideous. What are you doing?
But she was getting angry with him. There was a lot of anger happening. And I won't go into the specifics of the people and the situation.
Because he was hitting on you?
Like, really not okay. I leave and go home and you guys are having your sleepovers, which makes sense for the jammies now. So it's really late. It's like 2-3 o'clock in the morning now. He's crying on the couch because Jennifer and her boyfriend are in their bedroom where they live together and they sleep in the same room. It's their apartment. They were just in there and
they're going to bed.
And you don't scream it, by the way.
They have guests. They're just going
they're
to bed.
They're literally just going to bed. They're not fucking.
And we're sitting awake on the couch and he's crying and talking about how I'm not like having sex with him. And I'm like, we're on the couch at my friend's house. We're not gonna like do it. Like, what is wrong with you? So at this point, as soon as I saw him pull this like weird adult hissy fit, I was like, oh my God, I'm done with this shit. Like, this dude's, I'm gonna get through this visit and I'm gonna drive back to Massachusetts and this dude's done.
All right, so does he stop crying? Do you go to bed? What do you do?
Eventually, yeah.
So you go to sleep, but you woke up early in the morning before other people were up because what was happening? That's the whole name of the story.
Oh, yeah. I was sleeping.
Wow.
And
Oh, my God.
I was sleeping and I woke up because I discovered that he was trying to fist.
He was trying to shove an entire fist.
His entire hand.
In your cavity. And it.
Yeah, and that it wasn't working because number one, I was sleeping.
But his massive fucking arm couldn't fit in you.
No, okay. Not quite. Why? Like what?
You woke up to the abominable fuck. That. Trying to fist.
Yeah.
You get into an argument, right? You freak out. Didn't you start screaming at him because that?
Yeah. Woke. What the fuck are you doing?
Right. So Jennifer wakes up. I know that her boyfriend at the time, he threatened him, didn't he?
He is a very passive man.
Yeah. I've never seen him yell.
But at the time, I was good friends with him too.
He flipped the fuck out. You get in the car. You're not talking,
advised, like, not to go. They're like, he's like, you want me to give you a fucking ride home? And dude's like, come on, let's go.
You go and you get in the car, right? You're driving.
We drive. We're almost all the way home. Almost.
Okay. So you're in Massachusetts.
Yes. So we get to the entrance of the city where he lives. And we're on the rotary and we get in a fucking car accident. I shit you not. And it was like, it was raining. It was actually pouring. So the visibility was bad. I don't know. I got in a car accident. I hit the car coming off the rotary.
Where was the rotary? On Route 1?
Yeah.
In Saugus.
Yeah.
The road that leads to the newly renovated Revere Beach Strip and Parkway, where you could find some of our wonderful sponsors, like Jonathan McGillicuddy's Meat Flavored Liquor.
Jonathan McGillicuddy's. Jonathan McGillicuddy's, where we make the best liquor, food flavored liquor.
Butcher Bongaiovi's Resorts and Sores, Cooter's Bar and Fucking Grill, and we have a new sponsor, which is Corn Hub. What is Corn Hub? Corn Hub is not only a website, it's not only a movement, it's also a romantic, erotic adventure novel involving Donald Trump and Vladimir Pootytang. Pootie. Yeah, Corn Hub. Check it out. Sorry, just had to throw in the sponsor.
So now we have to take a trip to the ER after being involved in a car accident. He's just talking about in the ER, we're going to remember this when we're old. And I'm going like, oh my God.
If we made it through this, we'll make it through anything.
Yes, if we made it through this, we'll make it through anything.
I got to yell in my fucking ear. What did I... I didn't do anything to you.
After he was filming my friends, accusing me of like cheating on him with them when I went in a different room for 5 minutes.
Wasn't he adopted?
Yeah.
He was. Okay, so his parents adopted him and they did that whole age-old thing, lifting him up and be like, you have a golden cock. You're a beautiful boy and the world is yours. I really can genuinely tell you this dude did not know he was gross. He thought he was the shit. And he had the balls to be like, you don't look like a playmate and you need to use teeth whitener. Women should be like seen and not heard. And just a lot of really dumb
saying
shit.
Saying that to me.
Didn't he have kids too at the time?
He had
a kid.
He had one with...
Which blows my mind that somebody, again...
Yeah, she was attractive.
He's had sex with more than one person.
Yeah. Which,
there's no... I mean, he is like a basement troll. Like, I really don't...
This was literally like...
He is hands down the most unattractive human I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Ever.
And I really went through this thing where I was like, I'm going to try to date people not based on looks.
But that's the thing. Had he had a good personality, it wouldn't... I mean, no, I'm just saying, at least he would have had something to bring to the table.
That like, I would have not felt everybody, bad, at least.
I'm not saying I'm not the best looking fucking person. I mean, you make up a person by their physicality and their charisma and their personality.
Person.
That's what makes a person. If you are fucking hideous, but you have an awesome personality, you still have a fucking shot.
You go up points.
There was no good... There was not a personality. He was just like a creepy movie stalker type person.
Like
that thought
dick,
he could just
that
randomly
totally
that he could fist rape somebody in their sleep, because that's how you get the girl at the end of the day. That's how she goes home with you, when you fist rape her. No,
totally.
Good thing he couldn't just shove it in.
Yeah, it didn't.
Thankfully,
work out.
It didn't work out.
And he made me a CD with his picture on it.
I remember.
So in the beginning, like before I went,
yes, you got a nice CD with. He had like a row of curly, short, broken hair bangs. He was growing his bangs. Out.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what was going on there. Maybe
moral of the story.
Maybe it was to cover his frontal lobotomy scar.
Oh, moral of the story is, we say this every week, don't date guys you meet on either Craigslist roommate listings or the Boston Donut chat lines.
Never. Yeah.
that's stupid. He recently tried to contact Rusty and he was denied, and we wanted to give you a little bit. Maybe you're interested. You want to find you a karaoke of your very own. You want to know about what's his favorite movie? Karaoke stats. It's Zorro. Yes, still. His favorite color is green. His favorite sex position is obviously fisting. Status, he's still single and fisting. He now fists like a fake, like fleshlight vagina thing. Yeah, do you need me to do that for you? What is his preference?
Lita Ford, circa kiss me once.
Kiss me twice.
Come on, pretty baby. Kiss me deadly. Yeah, circle then.
I fucking love Lita Ford, by the way.
Too.
But yeah, okay. So his car, the bus, or his mother's Chrysler LeBaron, lives with his mother and father still. Job unemployed. Edward James almost impersonator can be reached via the Boston Donut chat line still. We gotta wrap up, so we're gonna just finish up with thoughts on Blood Creek, the horror movie that we had been watching. It took us 2 weeks to watch it because Rusty usually sleeps over when we do our podcast, because we're up pretty late editing after we record, and then we like to wind down with a little horror movie. So we watched some Blood Creek, starring the beautiful and handsome and very young at the time, Henry Cavill.
Talented and beautiful and perfect.
My Superman forever, Henry Cavill. By the way, Practical Magic has a prequel TV show being developed by HBO.
So excited.
I know the entire world knows about that. Rusty told me to watch Blood Creek. And I think in the last episode, it was either T-Shirt Baby or it was Slap Me and Call Me a Bitch. We told you the premise of the movie.
Henry Cavill being naked in a box.
For fuck's sake, what is the... Really? You just suck. You just suck. You are the queen of getting me sidetracked. So anyway, I had some thoughts on the movie. I don't know if you watched it, if you guys are doing the watch-alongs with us. We still invite you to do that. And again, reminder, we're watching the Gollum tonight. Gollum? Henry Cavill is not an American. And at the time, he had not quite perfected his American accent. This was filmed in like 2007. And it's a Joel Schumacher film. And it's a little artsy. It's basically the whole Nazis during World War II, and they were really into the occult. Nazis find out that there's like these rune stones in various places all over the world, and specifically
in America.
In American Midwest, in farms, like these stones. Like it'll be people that are expats.
America, they become citizens, they
build a home, and the stone would be in the walls in their basement or in their barn.
What was on your land. These rune stones were all over the place, and a lot of them would end up in these people's foundations in their basements.
Yeah, so that they could hide them.
This random German family, they're just regular people who live on this little farm.
They get contacted by this dude.
And in a letter, and they're like, we'll give you this exorbitant amount of money. And they're just these humble farmers. If we can come and stay at your farm, like rent me a room. Yeah. And they're like, well, and I don't know.
They got to get ready for this guy. He's a big deal. He's one of the higher ups in the Nazi party. Higher up meaning like God level higher up. He gets there. They have all the stuff ready. He hits up the basement. Little girl that lives there. Her bird dies. He goes to the runestone and he's able to achieve a level of magic with which to bring back this dead bird. Brings it back to life. Yeah, he's a necromancer. So all you Elder Scrolls Online people, you should love this one.
He's quite attractive before.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay.
He's alive for a long time.
Anyway, so he's able to bring stuff back. He's got to be fed some blood. He's got to live off human blood. But if he eats the human body, he'll become too powerful. He's trying to get his third eye opened. There's a lot of fucking shit. Henry Cavill and his brother... The brother ends up being like trapped at this farm, and they're farming him for blood to feed this guy who's stuck in the basement. And there's runes around the edges of the farm and on the house to keep the guy from leaving that land. Viking runes!
So on the windows and stuff, they draw the signs.
That's for fucking Christ's sake.
For the love of all that is good and holy. This is not good or holy, by the way.
The windscreen. Not good or holy?
No, I was talking about the movie.
Oh, no. Okay, I don't know. You were pointing at the windscreen. I
have expressive fingers. I'm sorry.
So Henry Cavill thinks his brother's dead. The brother escapes, shows up at the house. His hair's all grown out. He's like, get your shit right now. We're fucking going to this farm, and we're going to fucking get the guy that got me. And
he doesn't even know who his brother is.
Should we not call the police? But he says it regular.
In a halfway American accent.
In his Henry Cavill voice. It's beautiful still. It's fine.
Should we call the police?
And he's like, no. I have a big bag of guns, but get your shit. Also, Henry Cavill is an EMT. And so...
That lives in a trailer with trash all over the ground.
But he lives in the trailer because it's in the yard backyard. Of the house.
Well, they go to the farm. They don't think the brother's alive. He thinks his brother's dead.
I just said that. Where the fuck were you?
And that he didn't come back from the
war. Oh, my God.
Okay.
It's the worst crickets ever, but I'm just letting it play out. Okay.
Oh, she came back from the war. Okay.
So the brother and Henry Cavill, they go to this fucking farm. And Henry Cavill's like, oh, my God. You know, what are we doing, Scott? Or whatever his name is.
Bob. Mary.
We're going to call him... John. We'll call him...
Christy.
He's a dude. Not saying dudes can't be named Christy.
His name's Bela. So he's like,
you're Bela. So stupid! Anyway, so they're at the farm. They're trying to get in the house to find where this guy is. I don't want to destroy the whole movie, but I have a lot of thoughts. First of all, it was really weirdly filmed. It looked kind of like a 1990s bad... music video Like, for like a band like Mr. Big, like I'm the one that wants to be with you music video.
I feel like it was supposed to be set during after Desert Storm.
That's
so I
not,
feel like
that's not why. He was the reason that it's weirdly filmed, like the guy, the Nazi guy, has a lot of flashbacks and it looks like a 90s music video, the way that they do the flashbacks and certain scenes. It's weirdly colored. There's a lot of bloopers. There's fucking scenes where like something will be on the floor and when the camera pans back, it's not there.
Or
you know,
the guy has really long hair and the
brother's hairdo
having short hair.
Every 2 hours, he has another haircut.
Yeah.
Like it's like weird.
But they're in
Henry
Cavill's gut in this place, like fighting this thing.
And the family that lives in the house, now they've aged. It's been like, what is it? Like
90 years or something. It's been a really long. This was in the early 30s. It was before the Third Reich. Like it.
No, I know. It was in the rise of, it was in the rise, but I don't remember the
so
amount of years.
So it's in the
30s,
it's like, I don't know, maybe it's like 70 years later or 60. And there's this family, and they're still alive.
Yeah, because
the mom is super old.
It would have been
but
like,
no one
what,
else is.
In the 90s? When was
Desert Storm? It would have been like...
But I don't know if it was a particularly Desert Storm or Desert Shield
Storm,
or fucking which one.
Around that time. So if somebody had come back from that, it would have been the late 90s.
So the family ages is what we're saying. Right? The daughter is not a little girl anymore.
She's
the
like
father's grown up,
woman.
The brother's grown up. The mother is all of a sudden she was just
80.
Regular. She aged 40 years above everybody else.
She's like, I am 80.
You're
my husband
screaming
is 60.
Into the mic.
Yeah.
Okay. And then so Henry Cavill hooks up in the house. Everything is being raised from the dead. All the fucking farm animals, all the dogs, everything. So they have these gray eyes and they're zombieing out. And Henry Cavill won't shoot anything or kill anything because he's an EMT and he's got to give it Tylenol. And he's like trying to take care of the mother who's 245 years old now.
Not only that. But he's, you know, he's gone to fight these zombies and he brings his medical bag so that he can
That's
give
what I'm
himself.
Saying. He didn't even bring it. He left it outside the fence of the farm and had to run through the zombie horses and this guy trying to kill him. I just can't. It's so fucking goofy. Had this movie been made with a little bit of a budget, maybe? I don't know, because I've come to expect Joel Schumacher to not suck, right? Joel Schumacher, most notably, Flatliners and The Lost Boy. They're fucking great movies.
This movie was
like, he was drunk on pills and had $14.
And was like, fuck, let's get this over with.
It was not that it was terrible. It wasn't terrible, but it could have been really good. I feel like editing and writing and film, all of it was just off. Henry Cavill is never bad. He's always pretty good. And I'm not even going with his looks. Like, he's not a crappy actor. He's good. His bangs drove me crazy. He had Caesar bangs. He looked like George Clooney in the early ER days.
It was weird.
It was weird. And so he gets his shirt taken off at one point, right? He's in a whole bad situation.
It's beautiful.
She's all like fucking melting off the chair. And I'm like, gross. Like, it's fucking, how are you looking at this and
he's
being
naked.
Turned on? I don't care how hot he is. He's really small, oddly, in this movie, too, because he's so crazy buff now.
I like
him smaller. I think that he's way too big.
He looks
big
normal,
now.
Like regular dude.
This whole trend with everybody needing to look like The Rock has to stop.
I'm fine with you just looking like a regular dude. I don't even care if a dude is chubby.
I'm all about that six-pack life, and I'm all about that sveltiness, but he's crazy looking now. And I know it's because he's Superman, but Superman, Man of Steel, when he came back, he looked just hot, like really good. And then he came back for Batman versus Superman and he looked like a martini glass. Like he was so big up top, like his shoulders, he couldn't put his arms all the way down. He was all like,
That's gotta be uncomfortable.
He looked like a fucking T-Rex. And so
big hat, little arms.
Big hat, little arms. So this movie just, it ends, right? I mean, I'll skip through all the stuff because you really should watch it because it's still good, even though it's bad. The storyline's really cool. Like, they left it open with things happen. This dude, this Nazi guy gets his third eye. He's, like, all powerful. There's a moon. There's blood. There's all kinds of fighting. Him and Henry Cavill, last stand. Roar! Family's gone. Henry Cavill's in his truck. He has a map, a Nazi map. And he's gonna find all of the other places with the rune stones. They left it open for a part two, but they couldn't even get part one right.
No.
And this storyline's fucking good. I'm not telling it well.
I want Henry Cavill to go fight all of the Nazis.
I want Henry Cavill to do everything.
So are there a
I
whole
want
bunch
him
of
to
Nazis
wallpaper my
farms?
Rumpus room. I want him to wash cars. I want him to talk to me about Three's Company. I don't
I'm
care.
I'm
going
to be really
care.
Upset if I stumble onto a farm with one of those rune stones. And
he didn't do anything because they left that shit open.
I might just go there and
I feel like you live in a basement and it's got rune stones.
I'll just go there. I'll just wait for him. He's
subterranean
coming.
Bulkhead apartment.
Yeah, Henry's coming. And I'll be like, speak
He's
in your
coming.
Regular voice, please. Thanks.
Thanks. Could you just have your regular accent? Thanks.
Yeah, talk regular, please.
Well, he's like really, he's gotten much better. I think he does a good job as Superman. But we're going to wrap this up and get it processing so that we can have it up for you Tuesday.
Won't you like that?
Like that?
You'll like it, won't you?
Well, yeah, we're going to go watch the Golem.
Oh,
and if you want to watch along
dad.
Like us. Are you fucking serious?
I just wanted to say the dad, his perfect Nordic genes, they produce Eric North and the Ed.
Thank you.
Yeah, he doesn't get old. He never dies.
What is that? What is it? What's wrong with you? Why do you have to fucking fidget and rub your feet on everything?
Because I have to, I'm a fidgety gal.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It's female hysteria.
Yeah, so we're gonna go. She's gonna tuck me in and we're gonna watch the Golem. Please watch with us. And if you, like I said, if you want to partake, hit us up on Twitter, right? And you can hashtag Fully Mean the Pink Latex or thepinklatexshow.com or anchor.fm, Pink Latex. But yeah, check out the website because we update the website with the new shows. There's also a contact form. You can put in your questions if you have anything that you'd like us to cover or talk about. Or you have anything you'd like to say.
If
we're
you're
on karaoke, all the
socials. Don't hit us up.
Please, God, don't. No karaoke's. This has been episode 5. It's been really long. We fell off topic a lot. It was supposed to be scary. And Rusty can't fucking talk about shit after we take notes. Because she comes up with these ideas. And then when we start talking about it, she looks at me funny and forgets everything. So, like, thanks for listening. This has been the Pink Latex Show, episode 5. Thanks for sidetracking me. I'm trying to say goodnight. And you fucking can't just let me end it. Ew, I just watched that drip right over your nipple. That, like, dribbled right down your chin. She took a sip out of a drink and... It, oh, look it, now it's stained. Can you shut up now?
Bye. Right,
stop talking. You hang up.
No, you hang up.
You hang up.
I gotta go.
No, hang up. Oh my God. Good night.
Bye.